Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Robert Bialy's Party Line Zinfandel from California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here.
And also on the show tonight is the world famous Triple B.
Good evening.
On tonight's show, you heard on the open, we have a Zinfandel from Robert Bialy Vineyards. And if you're out there in California or you know Californian Zinfandels, you know Robert Bialy, assuming that you like his wines. I don't. So, I mean, I know of him, but I'm not a big fan.
Why?
I find that I've had two or three of his offerings, mm-hmm. And I've found them to be just oak bombs. Mm. So it would not be your cup of tea.
I'm so glad that we're drinking this.
Foreboding.
That's true. So this is, though, their cheapest wine. And so
I love when we don't have a winemaker you don't like and then we drink the cheapest.
Well,
isn't that exciting, Scott?
I was surprised to see it.
But I'm always excited.
I know. Because some people, you know, they'll just have Sonoma County as their cheapest. Or they'll have Juvenile for Turley. Or just whatever, Dash, just as a normal thing. Not Robert Bialy.
Nope.
He calls, or they call, their cheapest wine their Party Line. Mm. And it's North Coast.
That sounds like a line of Coke.
North Coast.
Yes, North Coast Party Line.
If you were saying, what's a party line, I would say it was like a line of Coke someone did in the bathroom, wouldn't you?
It's on a mirror. You put that on a mirror.
Right. Line from a song.
North Coast Party Line is on a mirror somewhere.
Yes. And you need to roll call up, me on a party
like
line.
Like on a $20 bill.
Yes. No, that's a dollar bill right there.
Everybody ride the train.
Yes.
To the party line. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If I would have known you were going to sing, I would have sharpied that shit out so you wouldn't even know it was on.
Well, I was inspired.
Yeah, oh my God. So, folks, we're excited for this low $20, mid $20 wine, somewhere between $22 and $27. It's hard to find.
If it's $20 for a Zin, that's not like an entry-level Zin.
It is theirs.
But it's theirs.
Yeah,
but in my mind, when you said it was their party line, it was their cheapest, I thought it was going to be like $6.
I think the next one is like 40-something.
But I don't know necessarily that I'm any more excited about it than that.
Mm. No.
Particularly after you say North Coast.
Hmm. Yeah, because they have plenty of Sonoma properties. They have Napa properties. I mean, then they say, fuck it. I mean, North Coast, I mean... Medicino, maybe. It's probably Lake and other things. Why would you bother? Why wouldn't you be utilizing some of the other things that you have access to in other areas? I don't know. We'll find that out, I suppose.
Yeah. North Coast Zinfandel, less than enthusiastic. Can't think of a North Coast Zinfandel.
Well, Medicino is North Coast.
But Medicino is Medicino. North Coast is...
Well, it could also be Lake County.
There are
good Lake County Zinfandels.
We have, but this is a more broader designation.
I mean, there's some other areas too, but I'm assuming it's going to be Lake and it's going to be Medicine.
I might be more excited if it was a California designation than North Coast designation for Zin.
Well, they want to be more
exclusive. It's a Party Line designation.
It's because you party with it. 14% alcohol, though. 14.7, I'm sorry. And this is the 2019 vintage. So the information that we have in front of us is for the 18, because they don't even know anything about their 19 yet. They haven't released any of that information yet. It's too secret. It's too secret.
It's very secret. But nobody, it's the Party Line, too.
They don't want anybody to know about the Party Line.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those raves that, you know, special invitation only.
I know. We're going to get some glow sticks out, man, and take some Molly, and then drink this wine.
So on the back of the label, it talks about how this was around during Prohibition, and in old Napa, Aldo Biale, who must be like the, what, grandpa or something, employed the code name Black Chicken on the phone to keep his bootleg jugs of homegrown and homemade Zin a secret from the neighbors and authorities.
I like that story.
It's cool. It's super cool. But why did they name it Party Line? It celebrates the tradition of that.
Well, because this is, I don't know. I've had the Black Chicken Zin. I hate it. So it's just me.
That pays tribute to it, the code name.
Yeah, Black Chicken. And I hate that one.
Well, I know, but how does Party Line pay tribute to the name Black Chicken?
Nothing. It doesn't. You know.
It's just a story.
It is. It's a story. It is. It's smoke and mirrors. They're just trying to, like, zazam, and then they run off.
Oh, this other thing. It was a Party Line where, like, they didn't have their own dedicated line.
Oh.
Okay. I get it now, but it's still.
Then, so they said,
are they all themed like that?
More or less. To a certain extent. They have names. Yeah.
But that's a cool name. It's, you know, represents something from Grandpa Bialy's history. No. Yeah, well, it sure does.
Aldo, that's a cool name. You never hear that.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well, other than the fighter that didn't make weight this weekend in the UFC.
Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back with a semi-expensive, cheap, apparently, Robert Bialy.
I mean, cheap. $20 is...
$24.
Okay, $24 is not a cheap Zin.
Well, it is to them.
We're poo-pooing this already.
Oh, yes. Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, one quick update. Over the week, I was feeling sad because I had drank my bottle of Pone-Cane, and lo and behold...
Lo and behold.
I saw a match on wine.com where it said 2016 Pone Cane. And so then I made that match, pressed that button, and guess what's in the cellar now?
What's in the cellar now?
A 16 Pone Cane. So, folks, it does have a happy ending. I know you were all worried about that. Yeah, so
very. I'm sure they've been.
I don't know. So far back in my head.
That's right.
Sleep that's over right. Your...
Mm-hmm. That's right. Everybody was emotional, like, oh, will he find another one?
I'm glad you said at the beginning of the episode so people don't have to sit on their edge of their seats.
I know, the elevator is going to turn it off. Damn it. I should have left it a cliffhanger. So, the Robert Bialy, I always called it something different because I never really cared. But Robert Bialy, it's very much like the producers. Bialy and whatever his name is on the producers.
You know? Oh,
yeah. I figured you'd pick that up. But anyway, their Party Line. Just some facts and figures. They do put this on oak, which is exciting. Although all we have is the 18 to go by, but I'm assuming they're not going to change that. Let's see. 11 months on 100% Burgundian oak barrel. So used for Pinot making, which is interesting. 25% new. What? Okay, that's the style of Pinot. Okay, so that's the style of barrel.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Some people would take that a different way, but that's all right.
Well,
I mean, if you were talking about in bourbon making,
dark room,
if you're making
kind of different way or what?
No, I don't know.
A little back alley different way. What kind of different way would you say? Why would you take that?
Why would you? Well, no, I just if you say Burgundy barrels, I mean,
but you got that little funny look in your eye.
I wasn't thinking of anything nefarious. So we have
first time for everything.
I know we have no reviews. Nothing. 978 cases produced, though. So it's a low production one.
Yeah.
Their volume was up for this vintage, 20 to 30% increase over average crop quantity.
Ooh. Bumper crop. Mm-hmm. The pick and save had a big deal on grapes. And they're like, yeehaw, we're going to have ourselves a lot of party wine.
I mean, it's like when you are just talking to a salesman and there's not a lot to talk about the wine. Or whatever it is itself, and they're like, they made a lot of it that year, you know.
it was a plentiful harvest.
Yeah,
all shall drink from the cup.
what we've got.
Darn it, it has holes in the cup.
Oh.
My cup is empty.
I have turned water into wine. I've taken one bottle and made many.
The winemaker's tasting notes don't give me a lot of hope. Mm. It says it's fun and lighthearted red wine that is made to enjoy now. Layered with aromatics of dusty strawberries, red licorice, black cherries, and raspberry taffy.
I prefer my strawberries to be dusty.
Raspberry taffy.
I know.
When I think of raspberry, I don't think of taffy. When I think of taffy, I don't think of raspberry.
When I think of raspberries, I think of berets.
Mm. Very nice. That's right. But when I think of a good Zinfandel.
Do you have a skip?
Zinfandel.
Do you mean to hit you upside the head?
I'm stuck on. I don't want to. Yeah, no, never mind.
It does have a taffy esque nose to it, though.
I don't think of raspberry taffy when I think of Zinfandel.
There is like a page and a half of their history that I printed off of the Triple B, but
like Laffy Taffy.
No. Ugh. But who wants to listen to that?
What are you saying? Yeah, there's nothing of note.
No, it's so dull, so banal. For a winery that doesn't want to take itself seriously, they have a lot of stuff taking itself seriously. No, it just smells like the sweet waxiness of taffy.
I don't mind taffy, but I don't...
It's faint.
...know what I think about it in a Zin. Or in what?
I'm surprised at this.
I've had OZV, so it's all right to me.
Was this 14.9?
14.7.
14.7.
I think that's what it says on the label.
14.7.
Not much of an alcohol on the nose.
No, it's kind of a muted nose, slightly candied, but not in an obtrusive way. And a touch of yeast. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Overall, it's not an exciting nose. It's not promising.
No. The other question we'll be answering tonight, what kind of party would you take this wine to?
I already
put in my vote.
No. Yes. If it's a party line. Here we go.
Yeah. Are we tasting?
That's about all there is. I mean, there's nothing to the nose. It's muted else. And stranglehold.
It's dark, but the edge is, I wouldn't call it watery, but it has a more of a purple edge. Nice lines in the legs. Just, you know, they line up really nice. And it's at least the legs are pretty in the glass. The wine
sucks. Oh.
You called it. It's an oak bomb.
It is.
It's
fucking
raspberry and oak. The thing is, we've had
this. It
doesn't
suck, but it's like, holy
hell, it's not.
Man.
It's not good. The thing is, we've had this wine 700 times.
And never liked it.
I mean, how many times have you tasted this in a Zin?
I just saw the look on Scott's face. It was a look of, what the fuck is this supposed to be? Robert Bialy strikes again. He's just not a good winemaker. I'm sorry.
I mean, this is totally a completely forgettable wine. Completely.
Except, oh, I'll never forget the oak. And it's still going. The wine is wildly lengthy. If you like bitter oak, and bitter, strong, sour oak.
Yeah, sour. I was going to say sour is the thing for me. It's mm-hmm. just like it hit me as sour where you get to the back where the joint is in your jaw and that sourness grabs you in the joint. That's what this did for me. Almost mm-hmm. like I could like my ears were almost cringing. It's so sour.
There's fruit and there's body there that all could be a nice, fun Zin. If it weren't for that finish, if I could press a stop button 3/4 the way through, it'd be fine. It's not a $24 Zin, but it'd be okay at 11 or 12, because that's all it is. This is not as good as, I mean, name a Zin, and I'll tell you if it's better than this.
Brazen.
Oh, Brazen's better. Yeah, no, it's not. No, I was thinking Clinker Brick.
What's
Clinker Brick.
Yeah, Clinker Brick's better. Yeah.
What's the $7 Ravenswood you drink?
Yes. The old vine. Vintner's Reserve.
Klein Ancient Vines?
Wow. Yes. Better.
Bogle?
Better.
I mean, I can
more
name
palatable.
Any.
I don't know if it's, you know.
And it's half the cost.
Lake of Sonoma.
Oh.
Similar, but it's probably better. Michael Pozzone.
Oh.
Better.
Do you think this would be any better if you were eating food with it? like, do you think it would cancel out the oak? I'm grasping here. Do you think it would help?
What would you
have
eating?
An arrows?
I mean, I'm like,
I think a beaver would find
I'm
this
like,
oaky.
Really, I'm really looking here.
Beaver would find
you
this
know
oaky.
That I'm trying to be gracious if I'm trying to find a way to overcome the oak.
I like oak. I just don't like this particular oak.
Good. No, it just,
and you can taste not. The Burgundian aspect to it. Those Pinot barrels just ugh. Because it has a slight sour cherry aspect that you would see in a Pinot. Not the one that you'd want to drink, but, you know, you've seen it.
All I can taste is raspberry and then oak. I mean, to me, it's just like a sweet raspberry and then an oak bomb.
Well, it's not that, that's not that off. I mean, what else? Is,
I know. That's
get
all that
past
I,
the sourness of this oak.
Yeah. It's just disappointing.
Mm. It's what I thought it'd be.
It's disappointing that this cost as much as it does.
Well, it's Robert Bialy.
Would it, I mean, if you were pricing this blind, wouldn't you say like $8 or $9?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I would say.
I'd say around 10, yeah.
Yeah, it's some entry price thing. And honestly, I'd have a little trouble saying with certainty that it's Zin.
Yeah.
What would you think it was?
Ash? Something over oaked.
Yeah.
something by Jay Lohr.
Something over oaked.
You know what, Seth? This isn't oak chips. This is actually using barrels by people that are qualified.
In theory.
Imagine their expensive stuff. I apparently there is someone out there, because they sell their wine, mostly, that likes oaked Zins. I'm not one of those people.
I mean, you know it's not me.
I like oak in a Zin. But Zins in and of themselves, they're not intended for this. I mean, even your biggest, ugliest Zins, like, your oak isn't your component. It's just a framing element.
Like the Baron does a good job with
Baron
that.
Baron sucks.
Oh, easy.
It's got one vintage, 2013. And besides the fact, it's a Copper Cane Wine Company product.
Don't be hateful.
It's the Andowan. It sucks balls.
Don't be a hater.
The 13 was good. After that, have you seen it? No.
Well, I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Haven't had the Baron that I didn't like.
Okay. Well, yes. Those years, the 13...
15.
I think probably because if you did some research, you'd find out that was right before they sold the Copper Cane.
Okay.
I'm guessing, but I bet that's what it was. With the Wagner brothers. Mm-hmm. But I don't get this style. And it doesn't match their story. I was making a backyard hooch's in for, and I called it a black chicken. That suggests that's some sort of a big, fruity, fun thing. Or...
Kind of.
Or it gives you salmonella. Yeah, something. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't do that. This is an uptight, very stuffy kind of thing. And for a party style, it's too serious with its oaking. It just is. It's constraining everything. It's taking the joy out of the fruit. It's taking the joy out of
the wine.
Yeah. And it's not bad enough that you, I mean, I can drink it because we've had so many worse things. And there's, I mean, the fruit there is competent. You just turn off your brain 3/4 of the way through the wine and it's fine. But
I'm hoping that the sour nature of the oak will calm down a little bit so I can get through this glass.
Can I tell you all something?
Oh, sure.
So many times we drink wine that is a tribute to someone. And it always tastes like butthole. This entire wine line, everything they make is a tribute to Aldo.
Yeah.
And it all tastes like shit.
Well, you've only had this one. I've had a couple more.
But wait, I mean, I don't want to drink anything else. You said they were all oak bombs. Why would I want to drink something else?
Yes, they were.
This cost $24. Why would I want to drink a $40 oak bomb?
$48.
Okay. Anyways, so, I'm just saying my theory about wines that are tributes taste like butt.
Well, I mean, I think Robert Bialy's wines just taste like butt. That's just, I mean, I don't know what you're talking
no,
about.
We've had so many where people are like, they're named after their grandma and it tastes like butt.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, they have Aldo and, you know, he probably knew how to make wine. These jack fucks don't know how to do shit. So,
bad.
I mean, I'll drink it. Because I'm a lush, but you know I'm thirsty. But that's
I'm choosing my water.
I chase it every. If you had a chaser, it'd be fine. Fuck you, Bialy.
That's why I almost wrote
that it
down.
Took that long.
Fuck you.
Remember at the beginning what I asked if you would write.
I have a new person on my list, or thing on my list. It's Bialy.
That's why when you said
you Bialy'd it.
Oh.
When I asked the you said you were chasing it. I asked earlier if you were eating food, would it be more palatable? Because you said you were chasing it.
What food would that be?
And I mentioned habaneros.
But like, let's say you're having a
nachos.
I was going to say, like, maybe really, like a pork
really
chop.
Hot peppers.
Pork chop.
Just something. Do you think it would be better? Because it would take away the flavor of the wine. I'm like, really?
Sour Patch Kids, maybe.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Nerd
Pop,
ropes.
Pop Rocks.
M&M's with peanuts.
Jesus. I would drink Kool-Aid. And then maybe get, like, black cherry Kool-Aid. And then just mistakenly drink the black cherry Kool-Aid every time, thinking it was this.
You know, I think...
And I don't like black cherry Kool-Aid, but I'd rather drink that. Go ahead.
You could take fish eye and blend it with Kool-Aid and have...
This?
Yeah, so bad.
Something better to drink.
Put a stick in it, too,
the
for like
so
6 years.
And it is shocking that it's barrels.
What's
it
the candy
very
used to...
shocking.
It was a powder candy, and it came with a stick, and you would...
Fun dip.
Fun dip.
And that wasn't very fun.
Fundip.
Henry gets that still all the time in like treat bags and stuff. There's some on my desk right now.
You could pair fun dip with this as a food pairing. You could. No, I think in general the answer to that question is no. I don't think food is going to make this better.
No.
It's like all I've got.
It's just.
Riblets at Applebee's.
This is a wine that should be on Applebee's menu. Mm-hmm. And they should get $19 a glass for it.
At Applebee's?
Yeah.
$19 a glass.
Because
that happens.
Bougie Joe is there to impress his girlfriend
and they'll
on
serve
Riblets
it, They'll
night.
Serve it at 78 degrees. But it's great day.
But the Riblets will be at 82 degrees.
Okay. I mean, seriously, if this is $24 at a restaurant, you're going to pay $50 for it. Think how mad you'd be.
You're not going to buy this.
I'm just saying, think how mad you would be if this was what you got at a restaurant.
If you buy it, you deserve what you get.
Wait, didn't you and the boys get a bottle of Bialy one night when you were out?
Yeah, it's one of the times I had it and I hated it.
Why? Why'd you buy it?
I didn't. Adam did.
Oh, so
we were taste testing. We did a bottle of this. We also did a bottle of Turley's,
Turley what?
Douchey.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
You're unlicensed, dang it.
And that opened Matt's eyes. The Bialy did not.
What else did you drink that night?
I don't remember.
lies.
I like that place. I might have only had a glass of that, too. I don't know if I had a whole bottle. That would have been a lot. I think I had a glass, but we had a whole bottle of
it. It was the party line.
No, it wasn't. It was a black chicken.
Oh, I see.
It was the black chicken.
Black chicken. I didn't even know, because I don't follow Robert Bialy, because the times I've had black chicken, which was, and then something else, I don't remember what it was. I never liked them. So I never followed him. Then I saw this was at Hill's Market. And I went, a cheap Bialy? I can make fun of Bialy finally on the show? How much is 20-some bucks? Okay, that's enough to make fun of Robert Bialy.
I was going to ask who brought this.
I did. We bought it at Hill's.
I wasn't with you.
Yes, you weren't inside, but you were outside.
See in the parking lot?
Yes, you were. That's the day I bought Soul.
Oh.
It's about time you got some Soul.
It's very hard to cook, I found. Just falls apart.
Yeah, it fell apart. But it was good.
It's a well. It's a, you what? Didn't know that sole was a tender fish.
No, I
and
did.
Dainty.
I never cooked it before.
Would you try to do it in a pan rather than
George Foreman grill? No, yeah,
that was a wise choice.
Actually, you know what? Baking it on parchment paper with butter and lemon probably would be a perfect way to do it.
That's a lovely way to do it. I'm sure
that's what I'll do next time.
Hmm. Cedar plank, maybe.
Or just pour some Robert Bialy down there, and there you go. There's it just solidifies into
no
an oak, oaken door. It's like
Robert Bialy ceviche.
Get splinters from that shit. My God. Oh,
squid ceviche by Robert Bialy.
Barf. They make a petite sirah. Scott, pull up. their list, because some of their wines, there's one I think that's like the Punisher or something like that. Something that's very 19 Crimes-esque.
I saw a lot of people drinking Snoop Dogg's wine for Valentine's Day. A lot of people.
They don't love each other, though.
On my Facebook feed, a lot of people.
Were they by themselves?
It was really hard to pass by and not make any comments.
I mean, how could you share that in a loving embrace?
It was gifted a lot, too.
There's going to be a lot of it sold because it's going to be marketed. It's been marketed. The initial ad campaign was well done.
It was.
Unfortunately, wine's bad.
We were part of that initial ad campaign. So I guess, is that the well done part? I keep drinking this stuff. I hate it, but I keep drinking.
Are you in your second glass?
Kind of.
Judgment.
Deeply.
I just think I overscored everybody. I gave them too much credit.
I'm guessing we probably all did. Yeah, this is going to be a shocking name.
Mm.
There's the first grade Zinfandel at $1.10 a bottle.
What? I didn't see the prices.
Founding Farmers.
Yeah.
Limerick Lane.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine the Russian River stuff? It'd be overpumped with alcohol and oaky.
Stagecoach Vineyard registered trademark.
Okay. Where's the Stagecoach at? That sounds like a Sonoma-ish kind of name. They do have a Moon Mountain, which would be cool if they didn't do it.
The name I wanted to make fun of was on the front page.
They have some premium sites.
Yes.
High-end sites, but it's just... they suck.
Their Napa Petit Sirah is Royal Punishers.
Royal Punishers.
Royal Punishers. What does that even mean?
It means...
it reminds me of those old things they used to... Stockade? In Robin Hood, they would put people in.
The stockade?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would...
I would put the winemaker in a stockade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's owned by the royals. It's not for punishing the royals.
In Robin Hood, what's the prince name? Prince John?
You mean the cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
In the Disney cartoon, they put those two little owls up in it because they couldn't pay their taxes to the crown. That's what I would view it for. View it as.
You know.
Best Disney soundtrack.
Such a good movie.
Great songs.
It's a lot better than Robert Bialy, anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more how Robert Bialy would tend to punish the royals.
Oh, I mean, we are forced to
make them drink this stuff.
That's one way.
Mm, at least I didn't pay that much for it. I would be so upset. Well,
it would be not interesting.
No,
but it would be different to see if they oaked it normally. Because I don't even know what this wine tastes like.
Not much.
No, and I do have to say the sour nature of the oak is calming down, at least in my remnant of a glass that's left.
How do you like what's left?
Now it's over peppery, and the oak is it's got this sharpness about the oak. Beyond peppery, it's sharp. No, I don't like it any better.
Yeah, I mean, I just took it. Yeah, the oak does calm down a little bit.
Would you know this was a barrel? An oak barrel.
Yes.
Because why?
Because it says so.
Well,
but if you were, if I wouldn't you didn't guess know, chips. How would you know?
I wouldn't guess chips. It's a little too nuanced. It tastes a little bit better now.
I don't think you necessarily get as much of that sour oak from chips as you get that.
Well, you get
bitter
something.
Harshness from chips.
You know, it's a little bit better now. It's just, it's still nothing great. That's the thing. The oak is calming a little bit, but it's still nothing great. The whole wine is just like, it's a dime a dozen. How many wines have we had that are better than this? And some of them weren't good themselves.
No.
I was like,
very
it's drinkable. It's perfectly fine to drink, but it's like at $24 and it's hard to find. Okay. Whoop-de-doo. There's about 1,000 different wines that you would buy before this, and then you would have to have a fucking psych eval. Then you would buy this.
Yeah.
It just, assuming you failed the psych eval.
Why would you spend $25 on this?
Why would you spend $10 on this?
Right.
I wouldn't buy this at any price. That's the thing. There isn't a price. I don't like it at any price. It's not that you can't drink it, but I don't like it at any price.
Yeah.
Throw any price on there.
Agreed. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't drink it.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, they have the Robert Bialy party line for $5. Yeah, but I can get the vendor's reserve for $6.
I also just drink water.
No,
I wouldn't pick water over this every day.
What are you going to do with it? You know, and that's it's not like it's barefoot. I mean, I would be screaming, but that's already $5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Flip flop is $5. You know, Woodbridge, they ain't fucking around. They know who
What's
they are.
What's this one you have back here?
Livingston Cellars. It'll slow down now. That's about $2.99 for a Magnum. But, you know, but these douchebags don't know who they are. They just think that they're something great. And this wine's shit. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, we're up for another rousing edition of Pro.
Do you want me to judge?
V-Con. No.
Why?
Because I'm going to judge.
Don't judge me.
It's the rubber match.
Uh-oh.
Keep it clean, Scott. It doesn't mean that. Of Pro V-Con. Now, Scott has lost one. There's been a tie, and Becky has won one. So it's one. So Scott is 0-1-1, and Becky is 1-0-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott, you could tie it all up tonight. Is it too high for you? No. Yes. You've won one tied. You've lost one tied.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
It's not hard.
Well, it was difficult for him to describe this.
It was difficult. So, Scott.
How many glasses of this have you drank, too? Not very one and a half?
Yeah, thereabouts. Anyway, Scott, since you're the loser, pro or con going first?
I'm going first.
Which do you, pro or con?
Pro.
Pro. Scott is pro, folks.
I much prefer looking at the category than
the first. Well, that doesn't work that way. What is the pro? What is the category? Pro. Pro what?
This is impossible.
Pro what?
Psalms sexual harassment scandal.
Whose?
Psalms.
Whose Psalms?
The Sommelier sexual harassment scandal.
I think it's wrong.
I think you're saying Psalm, P-S-A-L-M.
So how am I pro this?
Sorry, I love that. Why are you pro sexual harassment, Scott?
I'm pro that this came out. People are being punished. And they should be.
What else you got?
You're a douche for putting this down as a category.
No, I'm not. What else is good about the scandal? What's good about sexual harassment? Tell me about it.
Hopefully,
I don't know.
Long term, the outcome is that this will empower women and eliminate some of the debauchery that's gone on in the wine and restaurant industry. Sexist, horrible male behavior.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I can see why you're smiling. What a bad man.
By the way, if you think this is bad, you know nothing. You haven't reached your hand in that again. And now on to Becky for the con of what Scott said, which was technically the con. So Scott doesn't get any points for that.
So first, the wine vault doesn't have a mission statement. But if we did have a mission statement, I think it would be something about like finding wine that everyone can enjoy, making wine fun for everyone, like that kind of mission statement. This sexual harassment lawsuit is like the complete antithesis of making wine fun for everyone.
Well, that's a very good point.
It's extremely exclusive wine. And I would just say like wine, money, like all those things are really like old world, old money. Mm-hmm. And it's just traditionally a harder, more difficult area for women to get into or to be taken seriously in. And I think that, obviously it's extremely sad, but it just is so opposite everything that we stand for. The other thing that I think is really sad is the Me Too movement happened several years ago, and then this lawsuit is just now happening. Like, the wine world is very far behind the rest of the world. And lots of people kind of went through their books, went through their rosters several years ago, and the fact that this is just now happening with sommeliers is disgusting. The other thing I would say is we often find that there will be like a big upheaval for women, and then there will be a big upheaval for people that are minorities, if they're Black, Asian, whatever. And I think that that's something that hasn't happened in the world of sommeliers yet. So I think we're having this lawsuit and this, like, you know, revealing about the disgusting behaviors of men as it's regarding women in the wine world. And then I think in a couple years we'll have to have this all over again, because there'll be Black women and Black men that have been blackballed. And it's just really, I don't know, it's just really, really disgusting. The other thing that I think is really gross about this is wine and sommeliers. You're seeing this in restaurants. You're seeing this in just really nice, fancy establishments. And you're just cutting women off from, number one, being knowledgeable enough to speak about wine intelligently, but then also cutting women off from earning a living. And it's just all around disgusting.
Okay. Well done. Well
said.
Thank you. Okay. On to Becky. Second round.
I definitely thought you... When you said Psalms sexual harassment, I thought you meant like the book of Psalms from the Bible.
That too. You could have taken it that way.
And I was like, what?
That would have been a very interesting pro. Especially if you tried to, you know, recite the gospel.
All right.
The house might have caught on fire. Okay. Becky, pro or con?
I'll do a pro.
Pro. Being positive is important.
I usually do better on cons, though, I feel like. We've done this.
What is it?
Carbonated wines.
Oh, we have.
I did this last time.
All right. Put that
out. I think I had to be pro.
You did.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
And it was, I just mainly did the advertising.
When we read something, don't put it back
in
the basket.
I'm going to do pro again.
Pro again, of course.
Master class videos.
Master.
We did that also.
We did.
Also, the way that you have it written, it looks like Master Das.
It's actually masturbation videos, but that's wait a minute.
Okay.
That's a different site.
I must have blacked out doing those ones. Okay.
Yes, because somebody put all the ones that they did back in the damn bowl. So,
not me.
Okay. What's this?
Pro.
Yes.
Steel Magnolias.
Pro Steel Magnolias, folks.
I'm guessing this is the movie.
Yeah. Is there another one?
Flowers. It's a band.
Nobody knows that. Scott's going to have to be con. Steel Magnolias. There is on the B side on our website, there is a 15-minute long video, a B side, basically the outtake of Steel Magnolias, Scott trying to defend his honor and bashing Steel Magnolias as Steve and I hold up the virtue of that fine movie. So, on to Becky. Pro Steel Magnolias. And Scott hates women, so that doesn't work too well.
Okay. like to make write down a couple notes.
Oh.
She's stalling.
So, first of all, there are so many great people in this movie. Weezer's great. The dad's great. Dolly Parton's great. Sally Field is great. Julia Roberts is great. And whatever Dolly Parton's assistant at the hair salon's name is.
Daryl Hannah.
Yeah. She's so epically good. But there are a lot of people in this movie that... And what's the husband's name?
Oh, is it Maroney?
Whatever. Anyways.
Dylan something.
And the dad, too, is...
Tom Skerritt.
He's famous, and he's so good. Mm. But there's just a lot of people in this cast that are fantastic. So, first of all, that's a big pro, is sometimes you get an ensemble cast, and the movie just sucks, Valentine's Day.
Or Dancer in the Dark. Yeah, that was bad.
I don't even know that movie.
Nobody does.
Anyways, just really, really good cast. Everyone plays their part so well. There's so many famous quotes from that movie. My colors are blush and bashful.
Pink is my signature color.
Yeah, there's so many good. And then when Daryl Hannah has the criminal husband, and I didn't know if you would want someone, Rob's refilling Scott's cup. But there's just so many good quotes. And when they make that bleeding armadillo cake for the groom's cake, it's absolutely disgusting. But it's so funny. There's just a lot of really, really, really good moments in that movie. And I think there's some really funny parts in it. But there's also some really serious undertones in it, which is... the makings of a good movie when you can be really funny and when you can be really serious. The movie deals with Julia Roberts having diabetes, and she's not super stable in it. She's a fragile diabetic, and there's a part where she's getting her hair done, and she has to. Rob says this to me when I get grumpy. Shelby, drink your juice. Becky, drink your juice. Mm-hmm. But. In all seriousness, she's diabetic and she goes on to have children, which devastates her body and ultimately causes Julia Roberts to pass away, which is really sad. I don't watch that part of the movie anymore, but something that I really identify with in that movie, and I think a lot of people do, is that, she could have easily chosen to not have children, or they could have adopted, or they could have done some other things, but... I think it really just speaks to women in general that want to be mothers. Nothing wrong if you don't, but it's just a really sweet that some people, her purpose on life, her meaning in life wouldn't have been fulfilled if she hadn't been able to be a mom. And I just think that's really, really, really sweet.
Mm-hmm. See, I take it a different way.
Oh, no.
I take it completely the opposite of that take. The mother was shocked when Sally she decided Field. To have the child because she knew she wasn't supposed to. And it was that what was the husband's character? Played by Mr.
What is his name?
Dermot Mulroney?
Something like that. It wasn't him. It looks like him, though.
Anyhow.
Might have been him.
It's a typical Southern macho. The woman doesn't matter. He, to some degree, hedonistic. And
right. Hedonistic?
Hedonistic portrayal of...
Caligula was hedonistic.
The man...
Dylan McDermott.
Okay, yeah.
Dylan McDermott.
There we go.
And the dad's name's Drum. That's so cute.
No,
and Weezer is.
He should have kicked that guy's ass.
She's famous too.
Hedonistic.
Hedonistic portrayal of the Southern male.
Of the Southern male. Yeah. Okay. You do. Okay. For all that needs to know that Scott does sympathize and he connects with the Southern male.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, that is not what I'm saying.
You got your hair cut. To sympathize with the Southern male. We all know this.
I'm struggling to remember any parts in the movie where I felt like he was a hedonistic Southern male.
No, it's a hedonist portrayal of the Southern male. He's classic.
What's
he's
a Southern male?
Southern male.
It's yeah. Southern man. It's not flattering.
It's awful. See, in my opinion, it's always been stupid. It just comes down to her dying because she shouldn't have had children. She shouldn't have had children. And
had it because he wanted to. And that's the plot. That's the storyline. And Sally Lawn is furious. Justifiably so. The only thing that makes sense in the whole fucking movie is Sally Fields going off at the end. Everything else, it just, the even when it was so popular, when it was out, that movie infuriated me. As I
wonder how it ended up as a
value life,
as a category in Pro V Con.
And just like Sally Fields said, they could have adopted.
Scott, I hope you would remember that a Southern man don't need you around anyhow.
Get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You don't have... This piece is really good. It was very poorly done, Scott.
No.
You still don't have good arguments with it.
I still think it's a stupid movie.
Pro V Con.
Don't like Julia Roberts at all.
You see him very
emotional. In anything?
Can't stand Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Pro or con, asshole? Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro. What do we have now? Pro what?
Dolly Parton. This is such a good line.
I want to see all the Magnolias.
You're
that.
Pro or con?
Apparently I'm pro.
Oh, you have to be con, Dolly Parton.
I do?
Yeah, you do, Becky.
You know.
It's just one of her.
Has there been anybody that has made the field of cosmetic surgery more money?
Oh my God.
I think she's a bastion for the industry. Supports the field, probably donates millions to scholarships for doctors wanting to go into that field. And, you know, just no better advocate for plastic surgery than Dolly Parton. She plainly has a great voice, had a great voice. I haven't heard her sing or seen her sing in a long time, but
is this his pro
argument? She could belt, man.
I'm still asking.
She could belt.
Scott, what's Dolly Parton's best movie appearance? What movie was the best that she was in? Thank you. Okay, that's true. You get a point for that. The simple acknowledgement that 9 to 5 is Dolly Parton's best work. Yeah. It's the best movie she was in.
It seems like she's done some more dramatic roles that people might like as well, but none that I can think of. She's never been my favorite. I'm not a country or Western fan per se, but what probably the Dolly Parton has to be credited with being the female country and Western star that brought country and Western as a genre to the mainstream.
Movies and whatnot?
Through
media.
Being a star. Through being that crossover star.
Like she Loretta was huge. Lynn.
I don't think Loretta Lynn did anything like what Dolly Parton did in this manner.
Good point.
And also taking control of her marketing and her brand per se. She was a trendsetter in that way as well. So, you know, people think of her as the country and Western star. She's the female as CEO, female as spokesperson, female as out front taking charge in an era where it really was just getting started per se. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think she's Lucille Ball in this era doing that. But nonetheless, for the mainstream view of the American public,
Lucille Ball was a drunk.
Lucille Ball owned a production company that made a ton of money. Well, she made good money.
Yeah, it was some more than just money. Dolly. Let's see. Yeah.
That's mine.
Well, you're con.
I have something to say.
Hey, you missed a lot of points, Scott.
Missed a lot of points.
That's right. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I think that this is probably one of the more difficult cons I've had to do, because Dolly Parton, in addition to being a lovely entertainer, seems to have truly a heart of gold. For example, she donated over $1 million to Vanderbilt University for COVID research. She also, if you fill out a form and send it in, she'll send your kid a book every month until they're 5 years old, free of charge. It's just part of her literacy program. And I think...
You're con, not pro.
I'm just pointing out the things that you missed.
Like everybody knows that.
Well, they do, but it's okay. No. Well, you don't.
I also...
No. I did.
So, a long time ago...
It's because Becky told you about
it. A long time ago... A long time ago when my granny was at the beach, she ate at her restaurant. She is Dolly Stampede, but then she felt like that was a little bit...
bad?
Outdated.
Outdated?
And so, she upgraded it to the... what's it called? A Pirate's Voyage or something?
I'm not sure if she upgraded. She moved laterally to Pirates.
It's cool for little kids. It's a well-done show. The food is
the other one wasn't.
Circumspect.
Is this pro or con?
Oh, it should have been a con. It's just...
So, anyways, one of the servers spilled something on my granny, like gravy or something, and it ruined her clothes. And Dolly Parton wrote her a note and sent her money for a new shirt because it couldn't be fixed. I don't even remember what it was, but it was like a $50 check in the mail. Just super nice. So I'm just saying, I think that there are things that have been missed in Scott's argument. The only thing I can think of that I would... And Dolly Parton grew up like dirt poor, made a lot of money, and continually finds creative ways to give back that are important and meaningful to her. I think that she has been embraced by... like generations and generations of people all over the world. I mean, she just really is. She is a sweet person.
No, you're supposed to be con.
Yeah.
That's the only con I have.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out negative points.
You're trying to win a game.
Well, I didn't hear anything negative yet.
Con I have is that the Tennessee State Legislature just recently introduced a bill that would put up a statue of Dolly in the Capitol. And she released a statement asking them to rescind the bill, that she didn't want that to be put up during her lifetime, that she still had more work to do and there was more important work being done, especially in regards to COVID. And so the only negative thing I can say is it is sad that that statue won't go up in her lifetime, because we would all love to celebrate her. And she took away that. She took away that opportunity. We can all celebrate her when she dies, but nobody wants to think about that.
I don't even think that's negative. I think that shows her she's humble.
That's literally all I have.
Great.
I did.
All right. I'm dumber for long. Okay, so Becky, no, you're good. You did a good job. You did what you had to do. Pro
you said I'm dumber. You're dumber for that?
No. Yeah.
No, he did say that.
I was referring to Scott.
That is exactly what he said. No, we weren't.
I was.
Well, you there's a Freudian slip there.
Okay, pro or con? It's emotional for me.
It's going to be emotional for you.
Oh, no.
White Zen.
Con, white Zen. Well, that's a little more easy. And Scott obviously is pro white Zin.
I'm very pro white Zin.
It'd be better party wine than this.
You know,
I should be throwing these.
White Zin is the product that bought wine to the mainstream in America.
Yeah, and goes first. You know?
Essentially,
no, the pros go first.
Essentially, you know, it was made on an accident or a whim. You know. Once upon a time, White Zinfandel wasn't the sugar bomb that it is now, and actually got some critical acclaim. It was akin originally to a nice, soft rosé, and instead of the sugar bomb that it is today. But it's the wine that exposes, I don't want to say most people to wine, but whatever it is that exposes you to your first wine, whether it's White Zinfandel or something else, that's a good thing. So White Zinfandel, in that way... is a good thing. You can still probably find a good White Zinfandel somewhere. Somewhere out there, a good White Zin exists.
You get negative points for singing. You know that, right?
I did you pro for White Zin.
But you like White Zin.
Not exactly.
Yeah, there were many a Doobie Brothers album where you were there romancing a lady drinking White Zinfandel with her. So we know that's true.
A lady? Sure.
I'm sure. So on to the Triple B.
Okay.
I don't even know what to do with you on that one.
So I think Scott started to make the argument what White Zinfandel has become. When we were in North Carolina, that Cab Franc place, they had won an award for their White Zin. Do you remember that?
Well,
they had it hanging up on the wall. Do
yeah,
you remember that?
Well, yeah, but it was their competition in their own winery, probably.
It's totally accurate.
It's our best wine.
But I do think that it has become something that you really only drink out of a box or under $10. Like, when have you seen a White Zin made seriously by a wine producer?
Do you mean you drink it from a box or you drink it while sitting in a box?
All of the
above.
Both. Okay. All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah.
To a straw.
And saying it's sugary is just like an understatement. It's just not good. I'm trying to remember the last time I had it. I think it was probably like 2003, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know if I've had it since. Anyways, and I think it, your comment about when did you first have wine, it being White Zin, but I wonder how many people that turned off from wine because it was so gross and so sugary.
I don't know.
Didn't turn Scott off.
Didn't work for me.
The other thing that we've talked about in other arguments is there's always a better choice. So you're going to always have a better option than White Zin.
Toilet water.
Yeah, toilet water, bath water.
Your own urine.
Yeah, you're going to always just have a better choice.
Moldy cider vinegar.
And I think that we...
Someone else's urine.
I don't know of any wines that have captured that kind of like trash market like White Zin has. But
Robert Bialy.
There's some other wines like... that have had their moments like Rosé, Moscato, Riesling, but I just don't know that any others have really captured to the extent that White Zin has. But yeah, that's...
Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Chardonnay.
Okay.
And we have that huge bottle right there.
We're not
behind
drinking
us staring
that's
at
just,
us in the eye.
No, I'll wait till it gets brown, then I'll pour it over Scott's head.
It's very dark already.
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
I got it as a door prize.
Yes, you did.
Some fuckstick thought that would be a good idea. And I couldn't see what it was. It was wrapped up. And they had some other nasty thing. That's why you don't get door prizes and chill a fucking coffee. So, Scott, pro or con?
It would have been better to have a $5 gas card.
It would have been better to get hit by a car. What's that? Pro?
Pro.
Pro. You have two there, Trigger. Put one back in there. Pro. Ha ha ha.
Furries. Listen, folks. Without furries,
well, Scott,
my partner in crime.
Scott, would you explain what furries are?
My partner in crime would not be a happy man. It gives him a place to.
I don't go there. Don't talk about John Lamont this way. John doesn't want anybody to know his proclivities.
It gives my friend the wine guy a place to escape from his troubles in the real world.
Not about me, but I did. I the other day at work, I saw. I need to reconnect the Ring, by the way. But I got an alert on the Ring, and I look at the my phone, and there's.
Was it a new costume delivery?
No, William was standing out on the sidewalk in a Mickey Mouse costume.
Oh yeah,
that's just what he was wearing.
It's like a corduroy Mickey
and
Mouse.
I was like, what in the fuck? And they were. He took out the trash wearing a complete Mickey Mouse costume.
He did.
It's very warm.
He was going to go change his clothes, and I was like, you might as well wear that, William, because it's warmer. It's like a full-body suit.
See, it's such an accepted
is it
form of attire that...
Right, are you saying William's a furry?
Is that what you're saying?
You encouraged him to go outside in a costume, and it's okay because Rob has normalized it for you.
Well, that's not
it's
very...
okay.
That costume isn't particularly furry-ish.
Well, that's okay, but it's
corduroy.
He called our five-year-old a furry.
I know.
No, I'm calling him a furry.
He loses. I don't have any outfits like that. I do have a priest outfit. Don't ask about that, but I do have that.
No, I do want to ask about the priest outfit.
I have a priest outfit.
Does it have velour?
No.
Does it have black fur?
Why would it have black fur?
Because you're a furry fiend.
No, I am not. No, it's just a regular priest costume. I wore it down in Cincinnati for those guys' Halloween party one time.
Gotcha.
I think I was pregnant.
That and I don't really like costumes, and that was just a thing that you drape over yourself, and another collar on there, I ripped it off and it was gone. So, and Becky, you had, my mother gave you, my tell them about your costume that my mom lent you. It was like a sweatshirt. It like a quadruple X size sweatshirt. And what were you supposed to be, a cat?
I think
or
a cat.
Yeah, it was just like a black sweatshirt.
How is that a cat?
I don't remember. Did it have a tail?
I don't know. I think she had worn it to school or something, right?
Yeah, I feel like it had a tail attached to it, but we could both fit in it.
Yeah. Rob's mom gave you a costume that involved you wearing a tail.
I don't remember asking. I think she just gave it to us.
She did. She thought you needed a costume. Nobody really wore costumes.
No. I guess Rob's predilection to furry loving is worth seeing how it grew roots.
I think we just tried it on and took a picture of us both wearing it at the same time.
That's true.
I think is what we did.
You both wore the cat costume at the same time.
Like in our kitchen for a picture, not for like the
day. It sounds like fun.
Scott, it was a sweatshirt, but you know. Mm-hmm. It was a very it was the shittiest version of a costume ever in the world. Triple B, con furries.
So, I want to be careful with my argument because...
You don't want to offend people.
I don't want to offend people, and
that's
I think...
That's what we do is offend people.
I don't. I'm the moral compass of this show.
It doesn't mean you can't offend people.
So, I just want to be careful to not offend people or to make people feel bad about what they do in the privacy of their own home.
But they were out in public.
This is my argument.
You know what I said? You offended me.
I'm offended. I said
private life, but it isn't that way.
I'm canceling you.
So, what I'm saying is, I think whatever you want to do in your own home, you do.
But
in a safe adult situation,
that's where the judgment comes from. I mean, I don't.
However,
well, I think some people at home wear furry costumes, like they work from home and wear their costumes while they work.
That's a little weirder, isn't it?
I mean, if you go out there and you're at a furry convention with a bunch of people,
I think furry people do that all the time.
Well, some do, I guess.
I think it's
skin hazard. Dangerous skin conditions could develop.
I am not going to say anything else, but it just isn't always in the privacy of your own home. They have conventions. We saw that one downtown.
We did.
And they were like just how much did it cost you to get in there? Street. We were eating at Marcella's. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we were eating at Marcella's.
Just conveniently, you made a reservation that night.
So. There's that piece. The other thing is that it makes me, and I know that some people that are furries don't want my pity, but it just makes me, it's not
pity.
Funny.
Are you judging them?
I'm not judging.
Well, then
I'm
why do they need your pity?
It makes me sad that there are people that feel like they can't be their normal self in public or in the privacy of their own home. And I think that I'm glad that they can wear a furry costume and that they can have confidence to go out in public and make friends. But it makes me sad because I think some of the people that are furries could benefit. Rob.
What could they benefit from?
He's making me laugh.
They could benefit from therapy. Is all.
But you're not judging them.
I'm not judging anybody that needs therapy. I'm just saying it can be a mask for someone that needs therapy. And they are literally wearing a suit to cover up who they are, and that makes me sad.
But maybe they're ugly.
Rob.
And they could be a cool-looking fox.
Okay. That's my argument.
They're like fox mascots.
That's my argument.
I never talked to anybody.
Can you pause it for 1 second?
Oh, no. We paused, and Becky told us off air what she was going to say.
It really wasn't that bad.
It really wasn't that bad.
It was terrible. I never talk like that.
That's quite frankly 1% of what I ever say. So, you know, whatever.
It involves.
It doesn't matter.
Especially being the moral compass of the wine vault. I take that seriously.
Yeah.
Well, but you can't say things off air and be a moral compass. That's just.
That was. Yeah, you lose a point for that.
You lose a point for that.
You do actually lose a point for that. Should have said that on air.
Yeah, for sure.
That's lame.
That's very lame. Is your face getting red from the wine?
Oh, of course.
It's so red back.
My eyes, I'm losing my sight. I mean, Robert Bialy. So, on to the scoring, folks.
Okay.
First round, pro v con. It was the Somme sex scandal. Scott was very pro the sex scandal. He's very much into that. But he did not give a lot of pro points. Most of it was negative. He's very negative.
No, I was glad that it came about and that the sons of bitches are going to be
You punished. Gave it a positive negative spin.
Well, what else do you have there?
So to give you that credit, I did give you 3 points.
Okay.
But Becky made excellent points, top to bottom. And remember, it's round per round, not total points scored. Round to round. And I also like the point that Becky made that it's going to affect people's employment abilities. And then it'll have far-reaching abilities when you see how long the Me Too movement, all these things, got to that area because of old money, old this, old tradition, all these old bullshit things. And I thought that was 5 out of 5 right there.
I think she should have been knocked off because she didn't tie it into this is just a, you know, it's a snapshot of society. That society's going through it just as well, and would it be shocking
so
in the wine world?
The Me Too world?
Well, next time, Jackass, make those points when you're on there.
But I'm not pro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not pro.
Steel.
Well, actually, I was pro. I wasn't con.
Steel Magnolias. Scott came off sounding sexist, like always, with that.
I was sexist, calling a Southern man being sexist, forcing his wife to have a child when she died because of it?
I don't recall that. She was very excited about it.
No, actually, she was
scared.
It was
her free... She was. Anyway, Becky got 4 points. Scott got 2. It was very poor performance by Scott. Becky wins that one.
Stupidest movie ever.
Dolly Parton. Scott started off very, very bad being pro-Dolly Parton. He managed to... I mean, the plane was, it was nosediving for the fucking earth. But he managed to, I gave him 1 point.
Oh,
one
my
fucking
Lord.
Point. 1 point. But then Becky went.
Oh, and then you
And she
Scott
took her
points.
Plane and ran right into the side of a fucking mountain.
What was that?
And for the first time ever in Pro V-Con, I gave Becky negative 3 points. You were completely pro, which I understand. And you made, if you were flipped, she would have gotten 19 points and you would have gotten negative 82.
Oh, no, negative. I could have pulled out a bunch
of
points.
I was making Scott's argument.
How did I not
get
more points
own.
For my plastic surgery industry support? Comment.
Because that was facetious.
No, that's not facetious. It's true.
So right now, Becky is up 2-1.
2-1, what's the total point score?
We don't count the total point score,
total
Dick.
Total point score is 6-5 me. Even with my -3.
That's probably true. So.
Grievously understood.
White Zinfandel. It was close. Scott, though, I provided you 3 points. Because that's you missed your 3 points. Becky, though, did say then, and she was about where you were. But then she said there's always a better option. She named White Riesling and some other things. And that bumped up to 4 points.
But she didn't say White Rieslings as in better options. She said that those are just as bad.
She didn't say it that way.
Yes.
Now you're misconstruing what she said.
Oh,
would you
Lord.
Like to lose a point? Because I can do that.
Oh, Lord.
And
well,
then,
might as well give me a lose a point.
And then lastly, furries. Scott made no sense whatsoever, which is typical for Scott. So I gave him 2 points. And then Becky.
If you give me negative points, I'm going to cry.
Really made no points either. But then she wouldn't say her best thing on air.
Wouldn't.
So I gave her 1 point. 1 point.
So what's the total score? Points-wise. I don't hear points-wise.
Becky wins.
Oh,
so.
No.
I won 10-7 or 3-2.
No.
Which would you prefer?
Not with the -3.
Yes.
No.
Scott, you
I
don't...
got 5-4, -3, 4-1. 5-10, 14, -3. Yep.
I take Dolly, the furries, 14. And Steel Magnolias is
oh,
definitely
I think I
got 11
going... points.
Steel Magnolias is definitely
10,
going to the league office for 16. Review.
So, okay, I got 11 points.
Scott once again loses because he's dumb. But then again, hey, this is the night of losers since we had Robert Bialy on.
I hate Pro versus Con.
I know you do. That's why we're going to keep doing it until you crack. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2019 Robert Robert Bialy Party Line Zinfandel. We're going to go around the room, and we're going to get some scores. And I don't know how high they'll be. Triple B. What is your mathematical computation for the Robert Bialy Party Line Zinfandel?
This is a hard wine to score because there just isn't a lot to talk about besides the oaking. You get a little bit of sweetness and then you get the oaking. When Scott said he didn't know if he could identify it as a Zin, I think that's accurate because you don't really taste anything in the wine but the oaking. It's extremely overpriced for what it is. Mm. I mean, wildly overpriced. Again, it's a tribute wine, and that always makes me really annoyed because you're not paying tribute to anyone with this. I will say that this is almost gone, though. You all have almost drank the full bottle.
Not me.
Not me, and I think that's why Rob's face is so red.
Could be.
Do you see? You have, like, blush on.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant feeling, though.
So
thirsty.
Again, like, always a better choice. Like, at $7, there's a better choice.
I've drank enough of this tonight to know. Yeah.
I know. I feel like you're going to be hungover tomorrow.
Nah.
Just because it's like that kind of wine that'll be like.
Oh, it doesn't taste very boozy, but that's okay. We'll square that away.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
The Gatorade? I don't know what. When you said we'll square it away, I don't know what you mean. Gatorade? I would give this probably like an 82.
Dose of your points.
No, I'm
80 dose.
For me, it's easy score because it's just not very good. And I'm in the same 82, 83. I thought 83 was my score going into it because you can drink it. The oak calms down eventually. I suppose it's very young and maybe give it a little time and the oak wouldn't be as oppressive.
It's supposed to be immediately drank.
Yeah.
Why would you hold this? Why? Because it's not going to be good. I don't think we talked about the texture of it. It's lean.
Why would we talk about the texture of it?
It's lean.
It has some texture.
Maybe-ish, but.
This interesting, it? Yeah.
Yeah, 82, 83, I'll call it 83, but it's so disappointing for the price point.
Oh, yeah. And I'm, yeah, you can drink it. It's fine. It's just, as Becky said, the price makes it laughable. It's just a laughable effort. That's the other thing. It's a laughable, mindless, shithole effort. If you're a premium winemaker that makes Zinfandel, and then you put out this,
you should be embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be.
This is an embarrassment to your wine, your label. Never ever should you have something that tastes like this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it an 84, which is very generous. It's very generous,
it's very generous.
It's still rock bottom. I'd say 82 to 84. I have no problem with your 82. I have no problem with your 83.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither one of you sang Perestroika.
No, Lord, no.
Because it's not.
No, I mean, okay. Anything below 85, once you're below 85, you're like, okay. If somebody gave it a 70, in some of the 70s, they could do Perestroika. But even at an 84, an 86, it's a failure. No, 87 is a failure. For the price range and the label. These people make Zinfandel.
Yeah.
They're supposed to.
You should never have a wine that is of this quality or even a little bit better than this. For a winery that specializes in Zinfandel and has a premium name associated with it.
Yeah.
They are no different than Turley. They're no different than Limerick Lane.
Never have known this as a premium vineyard.
Different than Ridge.
Ever.
They are up there with any Ridge. Of those. They are. Dash.
Reputation-wise.
Yeah, reputation-wise. That's them.
I can't even fathom that.
And to put in a bullshit effort like this. The other ones, I mean, stylistically, I think that they're trash. Some people might like it. But this is lazy. Mm-hmm. This is a lazy fucking effort. They went up to Lake County and got dog shit. Why? Like you said, Scott, why don't you just make it California? Mix it with, I mean, I don't know their sourcing patterns, whether or not they have contracts, where they have things like Turley that does. Turley seems to have a little bit better handle on what they're doing, because the Juvenile is their least expensive one, and that's getting 91s and 92s, and it's good.
Yeah.
Really good. No. These two things are so far from Juvenile, which, by the way, is less expensive.
I honestly, I know that you've said that, and I trust you on that. I cannot believe that they play in the same league.
I mean,
it's
they do.
Unimaginable.
You know what? Dry Creek can walk in a room, throw their hat up in the air, land on a fucking coat rack, and have a better wine than this.
Yeah. Easy.
Sagesio does the same thing. Makes them look stupid.
Yeah.
Ravenswood makes, well, Ravenswood's out of business, out of fucking business, and they make them look stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, when Clinker Brick is a better wine than you are, you suck dick.
It's just,
you suck.
In an era where Zinfandel,
McManus makes a fucking better Zinfandel than this, for Christ's sake.
It's hard to make a bad Zinfandel. And
oh, you have to try hard.
Aside from the
Fry Bros makes a bad Zinfandel, though.
It's just not really oaked well.
No.
But what's behind that is
not much.
Probably not a good wine either.
No.
You can't really tell. It's hard to judge it, but there's nothing promising there, that's for sure.
No, there's nothing fun there. And then it goes against everything that they said. What did they say the wine was? The quasi winemaker's notes. The Party Line is a fun and lighthearted red wine. This is not fun.
Not fun.
And it's not lighthearted.
I'll give you it light.
Is, no, well, yeah, that's some of the. Layered with aromatics of dusty straw. Who gives a shit? The entry is soft and weighty with succulent mid-palate tannins that make for a long, juicy finish. This has no tannins.
Yeah.
It has no juicy finish. That was the 18. Maybe this is a dog shit one. But this has no tannin.
No.
It has no juiciness.
Yeah.
It's sour oak and some raspberry shit. That's all it is. It's a lightweight puncher bullshit thing that should be priced around $7-$8. That's what this wine is.
It's
$7-$8 wine with $40 oaking, but the $40 oaking tastes like shit.
I'm sure there's plenty of overpriced products out there that just aren't very good. We don't usually have the opportunity to do those. You know, we try to be wise in our selections when we spend a little more money on something for the show or pull something out nice. But this is one of the biggest disappointments for a non-budget wine we've had on the show.
And this is their budget. At least they only owned 1,000 cases of this bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, budget's one thing. This is their entry price. This is their lowest price point. I'm trying to think something that was more disappointing. The blend, the Coppola blend. But I think that bottle was spent.
Oh, you mean Cinema?
Cinema. I think that bottle was spent.
Don't start, Scott.
But... you know, price point of a wine that we've been more disappointed at than this. I'm trying to remember one. This is as big a disappointment as
Fry anything Brothers cost as much.
Wow.
But then again, they're Fry Brothers.
What about Bonanza?
Bonanza wasn't on the show because we thought it would be good. We brought Bonanza on the show to make fun of Bonanza.
I thought it was going to be
so
good.
I was about Bonanza.
Bonanza.
I thought it was going to be good.
I was so excited to drink it.
I'd rather,
just because of how I heard about it.
I'd rather drink Bonanza.
Same.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd rather drink Bonanza.
On the principle, I'd rather have this.
Let me ask this. Am I spending money on either one of them? Is it free?
Is it free?
Is it free?
If it's free, I would drink Bonanza. But I would drink it out of a plastic cup. Probably a jock strap cup. That's where it belongs. So, folks, an 82, an 83, an 84, and a go fuck yourself, Robert Bialy.
He said that earlier.
You were waiting on that.
I wrote it. GFY.
Yeah. Oh, scores of integrity, by the way, folks. We forgot about that. Becky, what were your scores?
Oh, I'm way off. So I said Rob would give it an 87, but I did write GFY by it because I knew you would say that.
For an 87?
Because I was thinking that you would be so mad
oh.
that regardless of the score, you knew that they could do better. Scott, I put down 88. I was so far off.
I didn't think they could do better.
I put down 87 and 88. Ooh. I didn't expect it to be this bad.
I feel like I'm going to start including the GFY on there.
Wait a minute. So I said an 87 for Scott and an 86 for Becky. Does that mean I won?
Yes.
Ah! Wow.
I think it's your first win in the Scores of Integrity. There's something to be said for that.
Raising the fucking
congratulations.
Roof. Look at that. Boom.
You weren't even within 5 points of this.
I know.
Because I thought that'd be bad. I just thought that'd be bad in a mediocre sense.
Yeah.
But no. They beallied it all up. So, folks.
That is a funny phrase. Yes.
Beallied it.
You done beallied it.
You know, they're giving bad names to delicious New York bagel-like pastries.
Oh, God. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.